Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Put me in, coach. Skip, I'm ready. I'm ready to play. Hey, good morning to everybody. Marlins opener versus the Pirates. A lot of people only go to openers, man, and go, that's it. Got to go. Wanted to see it. Did it with my dad, and time to do it. So anyway, hey, good morning to everyone. 4:10 start tonight. How about a big night for Jesus Luzardo, opening night or day pitcher for the Miami Marlins. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. 10-10 last year, 208 strikeouts, had a real breakthrough year. Has absolutely nasty, nasty stuff from Douglas High School, a little powerhouse up there that has been one of the best high school baseball programs in the country over the last few years. Matter of fact, just started losing games here recently. So anyway, we say we got a lot of stuff to get to. Want to let you know we are going through it. Islanders, Panthers tonight. They try to bounce back and get a win. They lost 4 out of 5, I guess, after losing that last game. Five out of six now. But anyway, need to get this win and get back and get rolling again here. Played a pretty good game. Just couldn't hold on to a lead in the third period in their last game. I got a little heat injury frustration. I'm guessing a lot of people do. I'm not blaming anybody for being hurt. Nobody wants to be hurt. I think guys want to play. You want your best players to play. You get a great effort from everybody. Nobody ever questions heat, effort. But you want your most skilled players, because your most skilled players, the guys know how to put the ball in the basket. And so we need all those guys back. And every friggin' time they play, and they'll play again tomorrow night against Portland, you're trying to figure out, who's playing tonight? So I don't know about this foot thing with Tyler Hero, and I guess he sent out it was supposed to be sarcastic or supposed to be, I don't know what it's supposed to be, but a little social media hit there for him, and I hope he's okay, man. The foot thing is pretty serious, and be nice to not see him out of the playoffs 2 years in a row, to be really honest. He's a really good player, and they could really use him. And if they're going to make a run at this thing, you'd think they need most of those guys back. Duncan in his back and everybody else that's there. And I don't even say Jimmy Butler anymore. I don't say, because I figure the playoffs will be here no matter what, and he'll play like a maniac. He'll play hard, and we'll be bragging about how much better his numbers are and how much he steps up his game, because we did that last year and the year before and the year before and since he's been here. So that's what you get. And that topic will go on forever. Sports have changed a lot. The old school stuff is gone. And I'm not a grumpy old man, so I don't like young people. I love the young people. Oh, you're just a grumpy old man. No, man. There was something to be said for – there was some good stuff that guys would play if they're a little nicked up and still want to play and wanted to play because they love the game, wanted to play because they wanted to give their team hopefully a better chance to win. And there was always you're always a little insecure about losing your job, which now obviously things are a little different in sports. So saying all that, boy, do we have a lot of stuff going on, a lot of football news going on. We got the Miami Open, the Big Four youngsters still going strong, man. Sinner, Medvedev, Zverev, and Carlos Alcaraz. 2, 3, 4, and 5 in the world are still going strong here in the Miami Open. As down the stretch we go, just a few days left in the tournament, record numbers, everything's been great out there. And then last night, Woody, I know the game with the Philadelphia 76ers had a crazy ending and everybody's upset about that. The officials blew it and all that stuff. This thing with Draymond Green, you know, I've admitted that I grew up along with the 49ers and the Giants, a huge Golden State Warrior fan going back to Nate Thurman and Rick Barry and all those guys. But this thing with Draymond Green, so I didn't say much about it because we got a little wrapped up in the Jimmy Butler, you know, sickness yesterday. Draymond Green has got, he got something wrong. There's just whatever therapy he got and, you know, self-evaluation he went through in that time that he missed the games, the commissioner told him, basically suspended him, told him to take some games off and get some help. I don't know. Like, he hooked Patty Mills. I couldn't believe it wasn't a technical. Hooked him pretty good. John Crotty, who's a pretty fair guy, you know, is all over it and going, you know, what is that? I mean, they got to review that. And so they come back. And matter of fact, they take the basket away instead of, and called it a foul and before the foul shot that was made. So it was crazy. And never said anything about Patty Mills getting hooked, you know, and all that acting stuff that Draymond's so good at that ends up being a dirty-looking play. Then last night, in the first few minutes of the game against Orlando, he just loses it and keeps going, and he puts the official in a situation where he's got to kick him out of the game. I'm not just going to sit here and blame officials. Oh, it's not about you. It's about the players. Something's wrong with him. He's crazy. You can say super competitive. You can say whatever. But he, you know, and he can come on his podcast and say all these. This is not normal. And by the way, also strange last night, did you see the reaction from Steph Curry? So Steph Curry sees he's been kicked out of the game. They make it official, you know, that Draymond Green has just been, you know, kicked out of the game. So he's gone. He's walking off. Steph Curry, tears in his eyes, man. Bends over, tears in his eyes. Now, Golden State went on to win the game, but this got to be wearing on him. Like, how many times can you talk and how many apologies can this guy do and all this stuff? Like, this stuff's not – it's just not normal. And here's the thing. It's not old school where you just would fight with guys when guys would just, like, go after each other. A lot of this stuff is just dirty. He tries to cover it up a little bit, but there's really some of the things he does. Now, he seems to be real big on this arm around and hooking around the neck. Seems to be one of his go-to UFC moves or WWE moves. But, yeah, like, all right, you made your point. It's early in the game. Whatever the foul was or the call was, hey, you got some extra fouls to work with. Maybe you didn't like the call. Every night we got some guys that don't like calls. But at some point they walk away or teammates help them walk away. At some point the league's going to have to just go, hey, Steve Kerr and Golden State, this is ridiculous. I mean, you guys are good for business. We want you in the playoffs and this play-in.
Well, what's going to happen is, and at some point, that point is coming soon, he won't be worth the headache anymore as a player.
Just got a brand new contract for like
$90
million.
Yeah, but at some point, Joe, they're going to say it's just not worth it anymore, and that'll be it. You know, you pay him to go away if that's what you have to do, but, you know, his play has really, really dropped off.
And he just got a brand new contract for a lot of money.
I know, and they love him over there, obviously. You can see by Curry's reaction, but at some point, they're just going to, you know, it won't be worth it anymore for them to keep putting up with his crap.
He'll do the apology. Sometimes he doesn't even apologize. He doesn't think he's done anything wrong. Sometimes.
Well, let's send him back to that. What was it? Anger management.
Well, that thing's kind of a joke, right? We're gonna send you to that.
You would think he seems to be the same dude.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just hard.
What a fun night for the NBA last night, man. You got Draymond Green cursing out an official. He gets tossed out of a game. You got Kelly Oubre, who after, you know, I guess the refs missed a call. He didn't like the call. Nick Nurse is charging him on the field, on the court. Their coach, and then Kelly Oubre's pointing at him, calling him bitches.
Yeah, that's going to be an expensive.
I mean, this
one
is the
too.
NBA is a joke sometimes, man. Like, but that's such a bad look. You got to understand that there are, you know, people, younger people watching your product. You can't be out on the court pointing at the officials, calling them bitches.
Yeah,
it's just not right.
Well, anyway, always something going on for sure, man.
That league has so many problems, man. It really, really is amazing.
It's
I know it'll get better. The playoffs start, you know, the product will be better, but
well,
that league has so many problems.
Mm. Well, anyway, listen, that's a generic comment. I mean, to make about, yeah, they've got some things, but the players, bottom line, you want to talk about what's really a problem? The players have a lot of control over things.
Yes.
And that's part of the problem, from guys not playing, the effort in the All-Star games. The commissioner comes out and says, hey, we need to get more game. You need to play in more of these national games. But
treating officials with respect should be just something that you start doing at an early age, man. I mean, you can't be doing that kind of stuff, you know. You see, by the way, you see officials getting attacked. Remember we went through a little stint to that where those guys were getting attacked all over the country and, you know, lower-level leagues and stuff like that. And, you know, we see it happen in youth sports. Parents get after officials,
That's been around forever.
Yeah, people got to stop, though, man.
No,
showing a little respect to these guys who are just trying to do their job.
I appreciate your stuff, some of the stuff, but it's been around. The crazy parents didn't just start. The crazy parents have been around a long, long time. The parents over the top and all the other issues here. Anyway.
I just think all these officials want to do the best job they possibly can and go home like everyone else.
Yeah, I don't think
they have personal beef with players or any of that kind of stuff or teams they like, dislike. Do stars get more calls? Yeah, that's usually how it works.
Well, these calls, and they're going to miss calls. That whole thing is never going to go away. Missing calls, and we see it late in football games, whether it was pass interference or not. And you see it in other sports. But, yeah, last night was a couple of ugly looks. And one was just the same old story from the same guy that's already missed a lot of basketball games. We got to go to break here. We've got a lot of stuff going on this morning, and we want to get back and talk a little bit about some of this football news that's out there with some of the changes. And some of the things have to do with the Miami Dolphins. And if you haven't seen it, the BetMGM NFL win totals are out. We'll get you caught up on that. You may be surprised by a few teams, the over-under. We'll have that for you when we come back. All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. Busy time, a lot of stuff going on here in South Florida, especially now that the Marlins will open up their season this afternoon against the Pirates. Jesus Luzardo on the mound. It's got to be cool, man. You hear pitchers that never get a chance to do it going, man, I like to be the number one guy and get that first start. Go out there. That's pretty cool for him, and he's from here in South Florida. Dave Hyde actually got a nice article on him in the Sun Sentinel, if you get a chance. And by the way, not only read that, but Dave Hyde will join us in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll have Kyle Krabs on this morning as well. We'll talk a little bit about the Dolphins. So I'm always curious forget what fans think. Oh, you guys can be great. Oh, you're going to suck. Everything in between, right? Oh, we're not good here. We're not good there. We can't have enough. And bop, 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 all the stuff to set. So the people that do it for a living, the people that are the home of gambling in Las Vegas, BetMGM came out with their NFL win totals. I always like that. I'm always curious. Over under. Chiefs, 49ers, and Ravens, two teams that played each other in the Super Bowl, and the Ravens, who a lot of people thought because they beat all those teams until the playoffs. We're the best teams, and I'd agree. I probably would have gone along that. I don't know. I might have put the Lions in there, but Chiefs 49ers and Ravens 11.5 wins over under on that. That's a lot of wins, right? Obviously, and you wouldn't be surprised to see them all get real close, if not over that. The second group at 10.5 wins: Bills, Bengals, Lions, Cowboys and Eagles, who fell apart at the end of the year. What were they, 10-1 and just absolutely, you know what, the bed. It was bad. So that's your second group of five teams in there. Cincinnati, of course, right away, Joe Burrow comes back. Right, you know, they're going to put him right there. Now the next group at 9.5 wins. Falcons, a little surprising. Packers, Texans, Dolphins, and Jets. They got the Jets also in the third tier of teams because Aaron Rodgers is coming back. So that's where you are. And by the way, six teams at 8.5 wins as well, and it drops down to I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Carolina's expected to have like 4.5 wins and on the season. So just to give you an idea of what everybody's thinking, 9.5 over under on the Miami Dolphins and the Jets, which kind of a weird one. I didn't see the Falcons and the Jets in that group. I got to see more than Aaron Rodgers coming out and making great throws in practice. So they apparently think he'll get back to where he was, and it's kind of what makes this whole thing fun as everybody tries to figure things out. Now, other thing I wanted to get to, I spent a lot of time last night talking to a few of my former special team coordinators, friends, and shooting a breeze about the new rules and regulations and what those guys expected. And, you know, this is brand new to them too. Just like we're talking about, what's it going to look like? How do you kick the ball? Who's got the most pressure on them? How can you set it up and have a chance with guys so close to each other and you can't take off till somebody catches the ball or it hits the ground? By the way, the poor officials. We get done with all this stuff. You guys are going to have to give the officials a year off. You're going to have to call a timeout and go, all right, no matter what happens in this game, no matter how much I gamble or how much of a nut fan I am, I can't blame the officials. I can't do it. They are putting a lot on their plate, man. Just with the two changes on special teams with kickoffs and kickoff returns and this new tackle or tackle that's no longer allowed and it's a 15-yard penalty, those guys got their hands full. Like, what'd you see? Wow. And it's so great. It's so easy for this committee that comes up with these ideas and to make the game safer. And then, I don't know if you noticed, they come up with this stuff and then they throw it at the officials and go, make it work. Make it work. Call it. Make it work. Hey, by the way, you're calling too many penalties. You're ruining our game. Because we hear that one sometimes when some of these things are called too much. They're going, hey, you got to back off, man. You're ruining our game. Too many penalties. Let's slow down. That one, I don't know. So yeah, boy, I'll tell you what. Those guys are, I know they're going to get help on some of this stuff and some of the new things that are in from a board, from above, and from the officials in the review room. But, boy. I'll tell you what, it's going to be a little bit crazy on that. So it got me thinking, and I'm always curious. So Dolphin fans right away, and I want to try to kill this today because I can't disagree more with some of you. And some of them are fan-based writing stuff, and I get it. You want to take the fastest guys and your best players and put them on a kickoff return team because you're thinking those guys are going to give you the best chance to take it to the house. I don't know how many touchdowns and touchdowns we're going to have. I know we're going to have a lot more returns for sure. It sounds like we're going to have better field position to start a game, it sounds like. And as everybody kind of figures this thing out, I guess it'll get better. So let's go through what the Miami Dolphins have and who you'd like to see returning now that this is going to be an active position called kickoff return. And Braxton Berrios is back, the guy that did all the punt returns and kickoff returns from last year. He's there. But I've already seen some of you guys writing, I see everything, man, that you want Tyreek and Jaylen Waddle as kickoff return people. Are you friggin' kidding me? No and no. Let me put Raheem Mostert on the no and no list. They got a full-time job as a 1 and 2 wide receiver to make big plays. I don't need 11 guys or 10 guys running at him, trying to tackle him in case a guy misses a block, even though they're going to be close to each other. I don't need those guys getting extra tackles, being tackled extra times. I don't need it. So, and by the way, you might be right. Knowing Tyreek and Jalen, they probably, because they've had success doing it in their life, Jalen Waddle was great in college. I don't want, listen, man, you're the 1 and 2. We're going to target you a lot, and we want to keep you as healthy as possible, and the last thing we want is you guys to return kickoffs. And Raheem, they threw his name in there, 3 of the 4 track guys that we talk about. No thank you. Raheem has got limited carries. There's a number on him that we want to use him in the passing game and the running game. I don't need Raheem Mostert to also start doing kickoff returns, because there's probably going to be 2 guys deep. They're going to be 2 guys deep back there, and you kick at one of those guys and he gets hurt, and then all of you guys that think this is such a great idea will be ripping the coach for why is our star player out there on the kickoff return. Exactly. Now, the guy I'll give a little thought to, Woody, I don't know how you feel about this. Devon Achane, the fastest of the group. Before, to tell the truth, Achane wins the race. I was talking to some of the guys on the team at an event, and I said, who's the fastest of the four? And they're going, look, man, it's not official. And they kind of pause because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, because that's kind of a big thing around the team. But I wouldn't bet against Achane. And I thought that, and by the way, as an offensive player and defensive player, and they're going, yeah, I probably put my – and I said 60 yards. So, you know, I didn't say a 40 and I didn't say 100. And they went Achane. So, Achane's also been banged up. We saw him get hurt a few times. So, I'd ask you, do you really want – and by the way, he's got different gear. He's got different gear than maybe the rest of the league except Tyreek. Do you really want Achane in his second year to be back there on the kickoff return? By the way, just 1 or 2 guys miss on blocks – and Achane is running on his own. I get it, man. We want big plays. We've had them done to us the last couple years, the kickoff return for touchdowns. But let's keep Braxton back there. We got to find somebody else that can do it, because it looks like they're going to be 2 guys back there in this new zone, landing zone that they have, or and all these things. But can we please stop before it starts and getting creative? This is not make-believe of putting Tyreek and Jalen Waddle as kickoff return guys or Raheem Mostert. It is a really, really crappy idea.
I mean, is it, though? Like,
oh, you want – is no, this just I a goal? Like, why would this be? They can't stay healthy
because it's
in
not,
football.
Because it's not the same kick return. It's a different one.
They're still got guys running.
I don't know. I just think you got a guy like Tyree, you got a guy like Jalen, you want the ball in their hands as much as you can. I know you don't want to throw them screen passes and all that stuff. You know you can't tackle them from behind anymore.
Yeah. This is good. You got anything behind this? You just want them out there.
No,
now,
I mean, if you're going to change the rules to make it safer, why can't guys give it a shot?
Well, guys still going to get tackled. Why do you want those guys? Why do you still want those guys to get tackled?
Anyway.
Those guys should be focused. This is a dumb take by you. I got to be honest with you.
Thank you.
I think this is really a bad take. And by the way, you're not alone. Why anybody wants Tyreek and Jalen Waddle as kickoff return guys?
Well, because he's the most explosive player in the NFL.
Stop whining at the end of the year when they're nicked up and they can't play.
Nicked up? He got hit by – he got one of those hip drop tackles.
So what? You think it just goes away? You think because they put the rule in that those kind of tackles aren't going
to
take place?
Guys will probably make an effort not to do it.
You really think in year one all these habits of tackling the same way is just going to come to an
end? I think guys will try
all.
Not to do it. I didn't say it's not going to happen anymore, but obviously they can try not to.
All right. So anyway, backside, those guys go to make a cut one way or the other to set up a little return to the right or left, and there's going to be guys flying around. I don't want my best players on returns. And I'll tell you the other part, you'll be the first guy, Woody, because you will be the first guy in here complaining about those two being out there.
Yeah.
That would just be a bad, bad look. So, yeah, I saw it, and I was reading it, and I was like, oh, please. Oh, yeah, it gives us offer with Mostert, and we can use some of the track guys, man. And I'm like, no, listen, those track guys, they were just fine. The track guys weren't the problem on the team last year. Those guys can't put together the track team, the two running backs and two wide receivers, just put up record numbers of touchdowns. Please leave them alone. We can work on other things, but please don't put them back there. Now you got everybody running at two guys, the return guys.
Couple of texts here. This guy says, I'd coach my players to do the swivel hip drop tackle if it stops a touchdown. I guess that's true.
So the thing is, you got to set up a return most likely one way or the other, right? You start one way and you come back, and you can get a little creative, even with the close blocking, according to my guys. And there's some creative things. They're all there. And by the way, this is going on as we speak, man. Like, I can see Mike's sitting down with the special teams guys going, how are we going to block this different thing? Because it's new to everybody. But I just really – those guys – I want to see on offense. That was one part I think we can all agree on from last year that was made this really a fun product to watch, was watching those guys offensively. What, we had one guy, now I forgot the number, had 21 touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. The other guy had 9 or 10 in a half a year and had some ridiculous, like, yards per carry in Achan, your third-round pick. And then the two receivers – until they both got nicked up at the end of the season. But even then, Tyreek had a great year. Now I'm afraid to anybody that wants this, I can hear Tyreek Hill saying he wants to be out there, which Tyreek's, you know, getting real close to that 30 mark. I'd rather he stay focused on running takeoffs and deep crossing routes and taking short, quick
post
patterns.
Yeah, it's okay having if he wants to take a shot at this. Another guy says, interesting dilemma. Deion Sanders returned kicks. He was the best player that worked for those teams.
I don't believe he did that late in his career.
Another guy says they should just restore the old kickoff from the 30 and bring real football back.
That's not going to happen. That's
already done. It's been voted on.
You missed that memo that came out was like injuries because of the full speed collisions was not working. And by the way, you can't even double team in this new block either. That's the thing I thought was interesting. Because sometimes you double team the best guy or double team the side you're going to. And they're going, no, it's one-on-one. So, by the way, how about the officials trying to figure out all this stuff? Wait a second. Two guys are blocking. That's a penalty. Uh-oh, he left early. He didn't wait for the ball to drop. He got an early jump. Yep, that's a penalty. So you got all this stuff. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a crazy look. I can't wait for preseason to see what it looks like. I am really curious. I think it's good. I think anything that's going to have a lot of returns is good. I'm curious to see. And by the way, you want to talk about finding out who the best special teams coordinators are and the teams that got it, the teams that go out and get really good return guys, number one. Teams that get a core of four or five guys that are really good special teams guys, and that's what they do mostly. And then coming up with some schemes for this thing to work. And by the way, your kicker. I'm guessing a lot of line drive kicks. I was thinking about this. I don't know, but I think it's more line drive kicks than it's going to be just pop it up. So there's a lot of different parts of this thing. And then the guys just come up with the best stuff. I can tell you one thing, man. Special teams coordinators they were dying out because we thought the kickoff return was dead. They're going to earn their money now, and we're going to find out who figures this thing out this season in the first year and who does the best job with it. I can't wait. Can't wait. Should be a lot of fun. Hey, we got to go to break. We got a lot of stuff. Yeah, I know some of you just want your best players out there, and you're going to throw the old school stuff in. And Deion was great early in his career. There were a lot of guys. You know who else is great earlier in their career? I think Antonio Brown was a hell of a return guy early in his career with Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken. There have been some really good guys on special teams that were good.
Well, Antonio Brown probably still be good at it.
But as he became the number one receiver real quickly, I think that cut back, unless it was a big one. I do remember him getting returning late in games. But that was also, so you know, that's punt return. That's punt return. Not that that's a whole lot safer, but a little bit. Anyway, let's find out what they do, man. But let me know what you think. I'm curious. I saw that, and all the guys are going, okay, well, hell, why don't we just have them play defense, too, and we'll have them do punt returns, and we'll do everything. See how many, because they're the fastest guys. Right now, I want to talk to you about your South Florida Chevy dealer. Suburbans and Tahoes and the Traverse, the Trailblazer, the Equinox, the Blazer. Oh, my gosh, I just named the big guys, the midsize, and the smaller guys. And I got to tell you, the big guys, the Suburbans and Tahoes, boy, are they comfortable, number one. They've added more space, number two, and they're made for that next vacation you're taking from the mountains of North Carolina down to the Keys to the West Coast. Suburbans and Tahoes are calling your name right now for a great vacation with you and the family, especially if you're staying away from that airport. And I want to let you know, when it comes to Silverado trucks, whether you need a full-time working truck, you need a family truck, and that's all you drive is trucks, Silverado, if you've never had one, you might want to take a look. It's our number one seller for a reason. We like to call them strong, durable Silverado trucks, and they make so many different kinds of trucks, we feel like they almost custom make one that's perfect for your lifestyle. New and used, low mileage, cars, trucks, and SUVs have never looked better than they do right now at your South Florida Chevy dealers. If you're looking around for something brand spanking new or used, spend a little time at your South Florida Chevy dealers. Come over and take a test drive and fall in love today at your South Florida Chevy dealers.
All right, before we get back to the show here, the Miami Heat are back with Junior Heat Summer Camp from June 17th through August 17th. Boys and girls ages 7 to 16 can sharpen their game at either Slam Miami or Cooper City High School. Campers will participate in a variety of competitions, fundamental drills, and games. For more info on how you can sign up your ballers, go to heat.com/juniorheat.
I got to tell you, Woody, that's Tony Fiorentino that has run those camps for a long time, former coach, longtime broadcaster, and he is really good, makes it fun for the kids, and he is Mr. Fundamental. And if your kids aren't getting enough fundamental stuff, the old bounce pass, he makes it fun for them. You got to go out there. The Italian Stallion makes it fun for everybody out there. He really does. He's a good buddy, and I know how much he enjoys doing that stuff and setting those camps up, and they've been great for a long, long time. All right, so
before we get back to also, John, I want to let people know, because I don't want anyone to get screwed, and I think our traffic person might have overlooked this one.
What happened there?
It says on Total Traffic Miami here on Twitter, there's a traffic alert. Pompano Beach Turnpike North is closed at Atlantic Boulevard due to a fatal crash. So,
that's not good.
There's also Atlantic Boulevard is closed eastbound between the Turnpike and Northwest 31st Street, making it very difficult to get back on the Turnpike. Exit early at Commercial Boulevard. Use 441.
You check ahead of time to see what traffic's like when you're going on the road?
I do not. I mean, there's really only one way for me to get here.
Yeah.
So. But I just thought, apparently that slipped past our radar. I just wanted to make sure that we got that out.
No, good job. That's a good catch by you. That's a very good catch.
Sorry about that.
No, that's good stuff. That on it, honestly, that's
good. That'll screw up your morning, though, man. You're heading up there and you see the highways closed. That's no good.
Yeah, well, hopefully we're not going to have a lot of traffic around 2:33 when fans are going out for the opener for the Marlins tonight against the Pirates. 4:10 start. Jesus Luzardo gets a start.
You love opening day, man.
I do.
That's cool. That's
good. I only talk for myself because I don't know what everybody else's situation, but, man, I had great memories with my dad going. And that man, I for where I lived and grew up, two and a half hours to get to Candlestick Park. It was a great effort by him to take us. And he loved doubleheaders, too. Didn't matter who was playing. If the doubleheader on a weekend, man, he was all for being at the park all day, man. He was big on that stuff. But opening day, man, that was a cool one. So anyway, Marlins start the season tonight. First of seven home games here. Not only the Pirates, but then the Angels will be in town. So we've got all that stuff, obviously. We've got the Islanders and Panthers tonight in Broward County. And then tomorrow night, the Miami Heat back in action. And listen, they got Portland and Washington coming up the next two games. You got to win those games. Portland's got 19 wins. Washington's got 14 wins. You have to win those games. The frustrating part right now is look, nobody's getting hurt on purpose. Nobody's trying to screw it over for everybody, and I get it. And I know one thing, Tyler Hero has got to be the most frustrated human being from missing the playoffs last year to all the games he's missed this year. I guess the foot is, it's taking a long time. It's obviously pretty serious. And he knows what goes with that, not only his frustration, but being a young guy that's injury prone. Guys you can't count on is frustrating. And I saw some of the comments from fans saying, hey, get rid of that guy. Get rid of that guy. He's good when he's healthy. He's never healthy. But, boy, I'll tell you what, the frustration. And then Duncan Robinson, who's been pretty durable with the back, and then a bunch of other guys in and out of the lineup. It's just at some point they got to have a few games together. Are they just going to go, all right, playoff time. Who's here? Let's go and get rolling. Now, saying all that, the East outside of Boston – from night to night, I'll tell you a team that's playing great and they're missing a couple of guys, the Knicks. The Knicks keep winning. The Knicks, even without two of their better players, they find ways, play hard. That guy's done a great job there. The Knicks have been really good. Boston, even though they blew a big lead the other night, obviously are a really, really good basketball team. But outside of that, Milwaukee and the rest of them, But you like to have all your best players before you go into that. I know the effort's always going to be there. I know the culture and the work and play together and play D and hit your open shots and all the stuff that the Heat talk about. But Woody and I were talking about this morning. Your best players that get paid all that money, they need to play. There's a reason, because they can score and they're consistent and they've done it. And so we could really, really use those guys. I don't know. Listen, 39 and 33, they got 10 left. And Portland and Washington, the next two, which, again, should put you in a situation where with eight games left, you're going to have a chance still to go 10 games over 500. And most likely that should come real close to getting you out of that seventh spot so you don't have to play the stinking play-in games again. We have all kinds of stuff going on here this morning with the draft and not only that, but what the Miami Dolphins might be doing coming up. Did you see Mike Tannenbaum had his stuff come out? Pretty interesting. Mike Tannenbaum said, this is what I would do. He was trying to kind of switch on this whole thing, and he goes, this is what I would do for every team. So, and that's Mike Tannenbaum's job. He's the ESPN. They call him that, and it's our general manager, Mike Tannenbaum. Was with the Jets and Dolphins. So the Finns' 21st pick, he's got him taking Jackson Powers Johnson, the Oregon guard center, or center guard. And, you know, could happen. But he also has four quarterbacks, I believe, in the first four picks. You know, that's never happened. That could happen, by the way. It's not crazy. You realize, Woody, I didn't realize this till last night. I don't think four quarterbacks – has ever happened before in the first four picks. I think the most is three. I know 2021 was three. I think it's happened a few other times where quarterbacks have gone 1, 2, 3. But I don't know if it's ever happened. I was trying to – Woody, can you remember? I know you don't go way, way back.
No, I don't think so.
I was thinking of the Marino draft, and there was – but those guys all were spread out throughout the draft.
And it seems like people are torn on these guys too, which is kind of interesting. I know, some of them had their pro day yesterday. They look great throwing to their college receivers with no one there. But you see all the coverage yesterday, by the way.
Yeah, LSU got two number one wide receivers and a quarterback. I figure everybody in the
you
league
think
would
they were
be
gonna
there.
Look okay. Yeah,
I just thought it was gonna look like a miniature Indy combine when LSU goes, our quarterback and our two wide receivers will be out there. And yeah, and by the way, if you're one of those top guys and you're having a bad workout with nobody defending your wide receivers and your wide receivers are really good, it's hard to do when you've been throwing to those guys all year, put up record numbers,
But to answer your question, your original question, did I see anything that Mike Tannenbaum did? No, I did not. I try to avoid his stuff as much as humanly possible.
I knew you were going to take
it. I almost appreciate his, you know, his act on there. Like, he says outrageous stuff and, you know, gets a rise out of people. I like that. I mean, you know. Whatever,
I don't think he does that, though. So I told you.
Well, if it's unintentional, it's unintentional, then it's even better. But, you know.
I don't think Mike does. Mike's not in the show business. He's like an actual – he's been a GM where he goes, like, this will be great to get our fan base.
Well, he was equally as bad at, you know, that job, so it's possible. But you know what, man? He is in the show business. Maybe he just doesn't know it yet. But that's – you know, he's in the business of saying weird stuff and getting a rise out of people. And
that stuff that he's putting out, and he goes, hey, put this up on the screen – he believes that stuff.
No question his takes were equally as bad when he was trying to help build these teams.
Hey, Mike, I want to
– or destroy them, whatever Mike, it was that Mike he was up, trying to do.
Mike up in Palm Beach, I want to let you know as you're getting up early this morning, it's not me. I just want to let you know it's the guy I work with that's taking all the personal shots.
That's okay, Mike. If you ever see Joe again out at Kane's practice, just go confront him. Just deal with him.
Yeah, right. Hey.
He knows, though, right? Like, he has to know he was bad as an NFL executive.
I don't think he thinks that.
Job.
No, I think.
Why isn't he working in the league anymore? Look, man, if you're on TV, on TV because you're not good at doing that.
So you think he called his wife and went, "Hey, I just got let go with Adam Gase," and
well, let me ask you, Joe. You think if he was good at what he did, he'd be sitting at an ESPN desk?
No.
I'm guessing he makes a whole hell of a lot more money working as an NFL executive than sitting at an ESPN desk.
That job definitely had an extra zero to it.
Same reason like Rex Ryan is sitting on an NFL desk, an ESPN desk. Like, if those guys were really good at what they did, they'd have jobs doing that, right?
But I'm just telling you, do you think when he called his wife and go, hey, I just got let go from the Dolphins, and you know, you're getting support from your wife, you think the next comment he made was, I didn't do a very good job. That this is on me. I don't think so.
I think his wife should be honest with him.
Is that what you
maybe
think?
Help him out with that hairline.
I don't think a lot of wives going, you know what? They have a point. You weren't very good. You know, you didn't really get anything done there. So I that's not what
I would respect that.
Yeah, you would. I think a lot of guys would go, really? I'm done with you too. All right, hey, I want to talk about something that is good, and that's the opener, the Marlins, today against the Pirates, 4-10 start. Jesus Luzardo gets the start. Pretty cool for him out of Douglas High School, getting a chance to start in his hometown here. So Marlins back in action tonight, and they got a lot of cool stuff going. If you don't have your tickets, it's not too late to grab them. Got a 7-game homestand to start the season with the Pirates and the Angels. So get your tickets now, Marlins.com/tickets. Again, that game starts today at 4 o'clock. Early start, so you can get out there and beat some of that traffic. Getting there a little bit early to the ballpark for all the festivities that will be happening before the game. And then, hey, while you're here, a couple cool things going on. Taco Tuesday, it's back. It was very popular last year. Game ticket, 2 tacos and 1 beer for $25. And then the 4 for 44 is really popular for the family. 4 game tickets, really cool. 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas or waters, and 2 small popcorns. Not bad. 4 for 44. It was so popular on Wednesday. They're going to do it on Sunday, too. So Wednesday and Sunday, you'll be able to grab a nice pack of 4 for 44. They'll be doing 2 days a week for home games. So a lot of cool stuff going on. Grab your tickets. See your favorite teams when they come to town. Get your tickets now at Marlins.com/tickets.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.